Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we should have a guest with us here in just a few minutes. Montana Superintendent of Public Instruction, Susie Hedlund, scheduled to join us here just a few minutes here on the program. So let's see what we can sneak in here in the meantime. Let's start with a message from you. We always enjoy getting your phone calls, your messages on the Montana Talks app. If you guys haven't heard about the Maryland man, a Maryland congressman, he spent Memorial Day. We briefly mentioned this on Tuesday's show. A Maryland congressman traveled down to El Salvador instead of being back home in Maryland, paying tribute on Memorial Day to the men and women who gave their lives for this country and for our freedoms. Instead, this Democrat congressman from Maryland traveled down to El Salvador, and he's big mad that he didn't get to meet with his big buddy, the MS-13 gangbanger, criminal illegal alien, Kilmar Abrego Garcia. House Rep says that Democrats turned Memorial Day into a, quote, bizarre and grotesque display of affinity for illegal gangbanger. Congressman Brandon Gill, he's a Texas Republican. He blasted Democrats on Fox Business Tuesday over the Memorial Day weekend and accused them of engaging in a bizarre and grotesque public display of sympathy for a deported MS-13 gang member. And he was talking about Democrat Congressman Glenn Ivey. That's the guy who was mad that he didn't get to meet with Kilmar on Monday. We got a message here on our Montana Talks app. This came from Lightbrows in Hardin. And, of course, he's got a great military background serving our country. But Lightbrows in Hardin says this: that Maryland representative probably has no idea how many Special Forces folks put their lives on the line in El Salvador so the country didn't turn into another communist, anti-American country. Yeah, I'll bet that congressman has no idea. Or if he does, makes it even more shameful what he's doing, doesn't it, Lightbrows? So, Lightbrows, thanks for that message. What should we talk about with Superintendent of Public Instruction, Susie Hedlund? You know, we got a chance to catch up with her shortly after she took office as statewide superintendent of schools. And I'll tell you what was so great about Susie Hedlund is she didn't cave, she didn't buckle, she didn't bend at the knee to the liberal mob media, and she instead, as President Trump was taking power back in Washington, D.C., she talked about the great things that President Trump has in store for education and what it means if we can get the federal Department of Education out of our way here in Montana. Well, a lot has happened since that conversation, so we're going to catch up on a number of different topics here in just a few minutes. And then let's see, we should have some time to sneak in your phone calls here if you got some topics you want to cover here later this morning on Montana Talks as well. You know the number, 294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app.
It's May 28th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is National Hamburger Day. Meant to signal the unofficial start of summer grilling season, the iconic American food is a staple of any cookout. Every year, Americans devour nearly 50 billion hamburgers. So remember, there is no wrong way to eat a hamburger. Whether you like yours with cheese or bacon or even a slice of pineapple, there are endless combinations. Also on this date, in 1937, the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco was opened to vehicle traffic. And the Say Hey Kid, Willie Mays, got his first major league hit, which was a home run off of Boston Braves ace Warren Spahn in 1951. He would go on to finish his Hall of Fame career with 660 homers. If it's your birthday today, you share it with singer-songwriter Gladys Knight, born in 1944. I'm Tushar Saxena, and that's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Montana Talks, where you get the mic. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I wrote this back in February. If there's one thing that has seemed to unite teachers on the left, right, and in the middle, it is the unfunded mandates targeting our teachers from Washington, D.C. over the years. And that's why Montana's superintendent of public instruction says it is so important that power is returned to the state's superintendent. Susie Hedlund, great to see you here in studio once again. I know you got to hit the road to Miles City, so let me just turn the mic over to you. What do you want to share with our listeners across the state?
Good morning, Aaron. Thank you so much. I am happy to be here. I am really excited, like you said, about what is going on with the Department of Education. We're looking forward to returning the work to the state, and we are just building the capacity to take all of that on. And we just received our federal funding for special education, the IDEA funding, and we're level funded, same as last year, as well as for Title I Part A. We received our funding level as we have in the past. There are still other funding streams that we're waiting for, but I think that that was great news. There was a lot of fear mongering going on about how that was going to work out or what was going to happen, and that's why I was, you know, making those trips and contacting the White House and had the honor of meeting with the president to advocate for the funding that's important to Montana and make sure that they knew what we were looking at. So we were excited to have that funding come into the Office of Public Instruction.
Yeah, and yeah, you basically predicted that. You didn't cave, you didn't buckle, and you said, look, folks, I've been in frequent communication with the Trump administration. The important stuff is going to get funding, and the garbage is going to get thrown out. And that's basically what's been happening. Important education funding is continuing to move forward. And then on the Montana front, more funding now to boost pay for entry-level teachers. This is something that for decades, even though more and more money was always going to education, entry-level teachers were always getting the short end of the stick, especially by the teachers' union establishment at the higher echelons.
Exactly. We need to make sure that we honor the profession and that we have a livable wage. We are working on recruitment and retention efforts, and so the STARS Act is going to really help that, raise up that base pay for entry-level teachers, and then, you know, as well as making sure that they're prepared for the job. It's a little bit different these days. So I'm excited about my collaboration and the relationship I have and have continued to build with the commissioner's office. We have started working on meeting regarding the educator preparation programs and making sure that those teachers are truly prepared for the classroom today. So I'm excited about that work.
What do you think has been the most important work that you've been doing in your first just few months in office now?
Oh, that's a tough one. During the legislature, that was obviously tough just to walk in and you know, advocate for school funding right off the bat, present our budget, and make sure that we can move forward. I'm excited about what I've heard from the field and the increase in customer service and support that we're offering at the Office of Public Instruction. It's really important to me that when people call, they get an answer. Someone's on the phone, they get an email returned right away. So just increasing that communication and support parts of the field has been really great, as well as getting out to the meetings and out to the schools and just making sure that we're there and providing consistent information with our partners in education. So that has been really exciting work. I've been working on making sure we have more opportunities for our high school students. So with the commissioner's office and with the Department of Labor, we've been working on CTE and career and technical pathways, just making sure, and that's also part of the STARS Act, making sure we have all of those opportunities for our students across the state. Senator Sheehy and I got to tour the state and talk to kids about military academies, and we have, you know, as you know, and thank you for your service, we have one of the highest enlistments in the nation in the military, but we don't fill all of our seats in the academies. So we're making sure that students know about that. We're increasing our support to military families across the state of Montana.
Yeah, it's huge, because we've seen where sometimes the education establishment has tried to block the military from even having access to, like, high school students, for example, as well. What are you seeing with all the woke nonsense, the anti-American critical race theory, the woke radical transgender stuff? I mean, President Trump's really putting a halt to this across the board. We're hearing a lot about, you know, his fight to clean up our college campuses in particular, but there's been a lot of cleanup on aisle K through 12 as well.
So that was something that was huge. We had to have every school certify that they were not going to have any DEI in their schools in order to make sure that their federal funding would continue. And in other states, I talked to my colleagues, you know, like in Wyoming, they had to receive 40 because there's 40 school districts. In Montana, we have 418 LEAs. So that was a big lift. So that was a ton of work. Our team did a phenomenal job of taking all of those in, and we got 94%. The only ones we didn't get back were from very small schools, and we just pulled their certifications from July. So,
and those were the ones that probably are the least likely to have the problems with pushing the anti-American woke stuff in the first place. It's more the Missoulas and the Bozemans you really got to be worried about, and frankly, sometimes Billings too, given the liberal school board there.
Yeah, we received those certifications from every district that they would be in compliance, and made sure that they had the communication on what that meant. So, we were happy to get that done and get that taken care of for Montana.
All right. Well, I know you got to hit the road to Miles City, or we'd keep you on for much longer. But next time we'll have to get you in for, you know, for a longer amount of time so we can take some phone calls from listeners and things like that, because I know you're always great about taking phone calls. So
thank you so much. Yeah, we're going to do we're doing a poster contest in Miles City with the school to prevent human trafficking and just raise awareness. So school safety is huge, as you know. So thank
good deal.
You so
say
much.
Hello to all of our patriotic friends in Miles City. Appreciate having you.
I will. Thank you, Aaron.
All right, phone lines are open for you next.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
You can't describe Montana's property tax in 60 seconds, but you can identify the root of its current problems. It's really just one thing, and that is the meteoric rise in the value of residential real estate. Before the year 2000, home price growth and income growth in Montana were evenly matched, which made sense. But since that year, home prices have risen much faster, with periods of rocket fuel price growth happening at least twice, now and in the years before the Great Recession. The beauty of the property tax, its stability and predictability, has been ripped to shreds as a result. Those galloping prices have made the residential share of the property tax base grow to more than 75% of the total. 20 years ago, it was just over half. Is it any wonder that homeowners' share of the tax burden has grown as well? Either until we fix housing markets or find another tax, we can expect more of the same. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Saving you money, I'm Hillary Barsky. As many teens get geared to graduate high school, it might be time to educate your college-bound child with some tips for managing their money so they don't wind up with a lot of debt. Over 70% of students say that they have run into some sort of financial problem while in college, and 1 in 5 say they have run out of money 8 or more times during the year. Financial experts say banking, budgeting, and the importance of credit scores are some key lessons to learn. You might want to go over the different types of checking and savings accounts, debt debit and credit cards and interest rates. Set up a bank account with them in Comparison Shop and have them pay particular attention to fees. Once your teen has set up an account, walk them through the basics of online banking. Emphasize the need for them to be responsible when using credit cards and stress the importance of paying bills on time and only charging what can be easily paid off. You might also want to advise them to continue learning on their own the importance of financial independence. Saving you money, Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
Hey, Sean.
Tackling the issues that shape our state. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, it was a great quick check-in and quick update there from Susie Hedlund. I thought we were maybe going to have a little bit more time for her, but that's all right. We can get her in the studio again down the road or on the phone lines from Helena, et cetera, you name it. But she's got to hit the road to Miles City, so now that means we got more time for you and your phone calls. If you got something you want to talk about, phone lines are open pretty much for the next hour plus here on the show. The Bureau of Reclamation is going to join us in the second half of our statewide 9 o'clock hour, talking about the St. Mary's Project, the Milk River, what reservoir levels are looking like heading into the summer irrigation season. I know a lot of folks up on the High Line, even though they're, I'm assuming, very pleased to see the progress on the construction taking place for the St. Mary's Irrigation Project. I'm also know that they're just very nervous about how much water they're still going to miss out on this summer as that project remains underway. So, but it's going to be great to get an update from the Bureau of Reclamation later on in the 9 o'clock hour of the show. But we've got open phones now for the next hour. But yeah. I want to go back to what Susie Hedlund said back in February. You know, it was about a month in to President Trump 47 and his second official term in office here. And we talked back then. You know, remember, that was right in the middle of Doge. Doge was really just ramping up and exposing all of the fraud, waste, and abuse in our federal government. And, you know, President Trump was talking about doing away with the Department of Education entirely, which, look, at the end of the day, the Department of Education is just a gigantic money suck. And then it does more harm to our teachers than it does good. And what if we could get them out of the way and instead focus those dollars and focus that time back on the teachers and back on the students in our schools instead of getting these woke or whatever mandates coming out of the federal government? I remember at the time I shared a soundbite. I think it was from President Trump's Secretary of Education, where she basically said that if you take $1 bill that goes to the federal Department of Education, about half of that, I think 49 cents of that, just goes to regulatory compliance. So think about the waste when half of your dollars that are going to the federal Department of Education are being wasted on regulatory compliance. So back in February, you know, we talked about all of the positive changes in education that we were already starting to see under President Trump's administration. We talked about, you know, support for reducing federal overreach in education and returning control to the states. She highlighted at the time the reduction in reporting requirements. And then we talked about some of the legislative efforts that have now proven successful following the legislative session. But it was interesting because you look back at the constant fear that was being pumped out of the mainstream media, and there was education funding's going to get cut, our schools are going to take a hit, our teachers are going to take a hit. And as we just heard from Susie Hedlund, it's like, the funding that actually matters, the funding that's actually important, continued to flow. But it was never about that for the liberal media mob. They wanted to continue with the fraud, waste, and abuse at the USAID, at the DOE, and all these left-wing groups that we found out were getting our money funneled to them through these federal taxpayer dollars. That's what it was about.
they wanted to keep the fraud, waste, and abuse going because they were the ones who were profiting from it this entire time. It's like George Soros, Hans-Jörg Wies, these far-left activists that fund all these Democrat Party front groups here in Montana even. We thought this whole time that Soros was propping up these liberal prosecutors or these Democrat front groups like Forward Montana and other outfits like that, or that it's Hans-Jörg Wies. In reality, those guys just provided the seed money. The rest of it was coming from you and me, the taxpayers, through all the fraud, waste, and abuse in our federal government. And that's what Elon Musk and DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency, exposed. And that's why we want to see even more spending reductions at the federal level. And I think based on what's being talked about coming out of the United States Senate, that's exactly the direction that they are heading. Is basically now Republican senators are saying, hey, we're glad the House of Representatives got these a few of these things done, but we want to rein in the spending even more as the Senate begins to take up that so-called one big beautiful bill. So that is good to hear as well. Let's see. Yeah, speaking of education, Harvard in the hot seat. The Revolver News, if you guys haven't seen this story yet here, Revolver News has a big story about how Harvard is in trouble. They've got a big piece. Harvard is so screwed. Harvard just admitted it is in a major, major, major crisis. And this time it's not coming from Fox. It's straight from the New York Times. Why? Because Trump isn't just talking. He's taking them apart. First came the criminally charged student awarded a fellowship tied to care. Then Trump fired back, yank the tax exemption. Now, funding is drying up. Legal pressure is mounting. And behind closed doors, Harvard officials are panicking because Trump is using the full weight of the government to go after their activist empire. Harvard wanted to play politics. Trump said, fine, let's play. And now he is running the table. So what is the latest with Trump and Harvard? Here you go. This is from Fox News Radio.
The Trump administration urging all federal agencies to review contracts for termination or transition. The letter is signed by Josh Grunbaum of the U.S. General Services Administration, who is also a leader on the administration's task force to address anti-Semitism. He argues the Ivy League institution continues to engage in race discrimination, noting Harvard's inaction in the face of repeated harassment of students. Today also marked the first of two federal hearings this week as Harvard works to preserve the university's certification to enroll international students after the Trump administration revoked that ability.
All right. Now, Alan Dershowitz, who's a liberal constitutional law professor, wasn't Dershowitz at Harvard, by the way, for several years. He was on Hannity's program last night, along with Greg Jarrett, the Fox News legal analyst. And Dershowitz basically says Harvard is going to lose this case. There is no way that Harvard is going to win this case at the United States Supreme Court. Let me see. I know I've got the audio here. Where did I put it? I might have to pull that up here, get it ready to roll for you here. I thought I had it in my stack of audio clips. All right, here we go. Here is Greg Jarrett first up, and then you'll hear Dershowitz chime in.
Well, I think it's important to read Harvard's own task force. They issued a scathing report that the university deliberately allowed this virulent anti-Semitism to run rampant on campus. They did little or nothing to protect Jewish students who were targeted, harassed, as the professor points out, in some cases assaulted. It's on videotape. There's also evidence, as you say, that Harvard continues its race discrimination in admission and hiring. All of that, Sean, violates the Civil Rights Act of 1964. So the penalty is a loss of federal funding. Good. Harvard should blame itself, not Trump, because they created this hostile, unsafe environment for Jewish students. It's vile. It's shameful. Harvard condoned it. And some of those pro-Hamas, pro-Palestinian offenders, they were foreign students that Harvard happily invited in. Go ahead. Do what you want. So Trump's DHS is legally justified revoking its certification to host those students. I agree with what you said at the top of the program with the press secretary. I have never understood why a university with a rich endowment of $53 billion and pays no taxes receives billions of dollars every year from hardworking American taxpayers, many of whom never got the chance or privilege to go to college. Explain to them why their precious funds are funding anti-Semitism.
All right, and then that's when Dershowitz jumps in and says they're going to lose. Harvard is going to lose this case at the U.S. Supreme Court. And then Hannity makes the point that we all were thinking, which is they think they have a right to our money. This is so symbolic of all of the left here. They think your money is their money. We saw it in the Montana legislature, Democrats voting against income tax relief. They think your money is their money. All right, into the phone lines we go, 406-294-0970. Art in Boyd, great to hear from you. What's on your mind, Art?
I was just going to make mention of the fact that tickets are still available for the Gordon Chang event in Columbus, Montana on June 6th, 5 p.m. If anybody wants tickets, they can call 406-855-2761. He's a very excellent commentator, and he is a China expert. His latest book, I believe, is Plan Red, China's Project to Destroy America. He has many articles in the Epoch Times, which I've read quite a few of. It's going to be a great event for a nationally known person to be in Columbus. So I just thought I'd make mention of that.
Yeah, that's going to be huge. Yeah, he's in Columbus that Friday night, and then that Saturday he's in Miles City for folks further east. 30 seconds to go before the break. Why do you think it's so important that people hear Gordon Chang's message about communist China right now in particular?
Well, I feel like China is making a big play for basically world domination in the financial markets and everything else. And we do not want to be under the thumb of China. Mao was a terrible, awful person. I guess if you read a biography of him, he was just a demonic monster. So I think we want to make sure we keep a short chain on China, and they're kind of getting pretty loose on us, I'm thinking.
Yeah, all right. Well, great phone call. Thanks for calling in. By the way, if you want to read more, go to MontanaTalks.com. We've got info on the Gordon Chang appearance as well.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana, statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, brother, these far-left Gallatin County commissioners are at it again. I saw a post on X from Representative Lucas Schubert, state rep Republican out of the Flathead Valley. He shared this on X. Liberal Democrat Gallatin County Commissioner Zach Brown, who is up for election next year, says that illegal immigrants aren't breaking the law. It's in the name, Lucas writes here. Yeah, this was a quote. I think it must have been from a Lee newspaper's article where they were talking about a story that we've been covering really first and since day one here, about the far left Soros prosecutor, the Democrat Gallatin County attorney, and the Democrat Gallatin County commissioner standing in the way of ICE when it comes to the fact that really Gallatin County is harboring the largest share of illegal aliens in the entire state of Montana. And then these Gallatin County officials are standing in the way of ICE, who's trying to remove that threat and to hold these criminals accountable. Here's a quote that Representative Lucas Schubert shared here. County facilities and services are not designed, funded, or empowered to execute federal civil procedures. Rhetoric, including from President Trump, implies that every illegal person is a criminal, he said, but that's not necessarily true. The county commissioner, Zach Brown, said, quote, if someone has an immigration issue, That does not make them inherently a criminal under American federal law. If they are here illegally, they are a criminal. If they broke into this country illegally, they are a criminal. And here you have the county commissioner who for 4 years in a row voted to raise his own pay, saying, well, if they have an immigration issue, they're not really necessarily breaking the law. Okay, what if Gallatin County taxpayers said, you know what, we don't want to pay our property taxes? Are they not necessarily breaking the law if they don't pay their property taxes to fund your salary increase for the fourth year in a row? So some gangbanger from El Salvador can show up in Bozeman, and the Gallatin County Commissioner says, well, he's not necessarily breaking the law. But by golly, if you wanted to walk into a coffee shop during COVID-19 hysteria, oh, they would have had some, you know, heavy hand of the... Remember the way they went around and poked these business owners in the chest? But now they're saying to the people who break into this country illegally, who shouldn't even be here, well, they're not necessarily breaking the law. Unbelievable. Yeah, if you guys missed our conversation on Friday, we had Attorney General Austin Knutson on the show, and he tore into not just the Gallatin County attorney for standing in the way of ICE. He called her a Soros prosecutor and a liberal lightweight when it comes to the law. But he also tore into Zach Brown because Attorney General Austin Knutson, look, A.G. Knutson served in the legislature. Zach Brown was a Democrat in the legislature. So Knutson is very familiar with what a far-left activist Zach Brown is. By the way, one other point here before I get to our next caller on the phone lines. So when Gallatin County Commissioner Zach Brown, when he joined us on the show, I asked him, you know, to give his response or if he wanted to respond to criticism. So I mentioned how the Gallatin County commissioners were criticized for voting to raise their own pay for the fourth year in a row. And the response from the Gallatin County commissioner was, well, if you want to raise the pay for sheriff's deputies, you have to raise the pay for all of the county officials. You can't just raise the pay for sheriff's deputies without also raising the pay of county officials like the. So he was basically trying to use the Gallatin County sheriff's deputies as human shields to justify why he voted to raise his own pay for the fourth year in a row. Now, either he was ignorant of Montana law or he was lying about Montana law, but he claimed that, well, the Montana law says that if you're going to raise, that in order to raise the pay for the sheriff's deputies, you have to also raise the pay simultaneously of other county officials like the sheriff and the county commissioners. Well, that used to be the law, but that law was recently changed. So current Montana law says, no, you don't have to do that. No, you don't have to vote to raise your own pay in order to give your sheriff's deputies, who are overworked right now because of all the illegal aliens committing all these crimes and much more. So either he was ignorant of the law, or he was lying about the law. Either way, he's in the wrong. And Gallatin County needs to step it up and do the right thing here. I saw Tom Homan via Rapid Response 47 on X. He said this, everybody that wants to push back against ICE, we're going to pay a lot of attention to them. Now, he was talking about the mayor of Nashville, Tennessee, and what's going on in Nashville right now, but I sure hope that they're paying a lot of attention to this Soros prosecutor and these far-left activist Democrat county commissioners in Gallatin County as well. All right, let's go into the phone lines. We got John in Kalispell next up. John, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
You bet, Aaron. Well, I just want to remember when you were actually talking to Zach Brown, remember his words. He said, this is the safest Gallatin County has ever been. So the question is, why don't you just look what is out there and going on with all the stabbings and murders and all the other naughty stuff going on in Gallatin County. And look back, I don't know, 10, 15 years when you had maybe a split county commission, two Republicans, one Democrat, and find out how safe it really was at that point. However, why are the voters so stuck upon a party line and not the actual individual running? And Gallatin County, they voted for it, they deserve it, they get it, and it, they own it as those voters.
Well, maybe this could be what finally turns Gallatin County back in the right direction. You know, the pre-COVID invasion of the San Francisco liberals that took over Gallatin County politics is why they have this mess right now. I think, you know, more of the newcomers post-COVID-19 are more freedom-oriented and more America first, but still, the numbers have not been in our favor. I don't know, but I've got to think that if you're somebody in Gallatin County and you're new and you're thinking, what in the world? Isn't this what I left behind in Seattle or California or whatever? When they're being this brazen, you've got to think that if there's some you know, just everyday folks who maybe used to think of themselves as Democrats before, how could you after all this? And kind of like how COVID-19, you know, turned off so many young Americans to the Democrat Party and to the left and their radical transgender agenda, you would think that this America last, illegal aliens first approach from these Gallatin County officials would finally convince people to once and for all leave the Democrat Party.
Well, the truth will be in the next voting ballot to find out whether they actually move these individuals, just like they are losing their property rights. Gallatin County officials or the county commissioners want to zone all of Gallatin County. I mean, these people are literally off their rocker.
Yeah.
But it's the voters that own it.
Speaking of growth, I don't know if you guys saw some of these demographic numbers here recently. According to some of the latest census results, these numbers came out just before the Memorial Day weekend. John, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. 406-294-0970 is the number if you want to jump in on the conversation as well. But back in April, I shared these numbers from an X account at TwizzyU or something like that. Now, I don't normally follow that account, so I don't know who that is, but I did see that our friend Dan Stusik had shared this, so that's why I knew the info was reliable, because Dan has served as a Republican appointee on the state's redistricting commission, so he follows these census numbers very closely. And what we shared back in April was that Montana's population grew 4.89% between 2020 and 2024. The largest percentage increase, Broadwater County, with nearly a 23% increase in population, but the largest number increase, Flathead County. Right there, we just heard from John in Kalispell. Flathead County had a 10,200 population increase, so that was the largest number in the state. And I found that very interesting because I remember, what, a year or two ago, we were talking with Jeremy Carl from the Claremont Institute, who lives in Bozeman, and he was saying that looking at the demographic trends, he could see where Flathead County overtakes Missoula within just a few short years. So think about the political implications of that one.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Europe is, you know, they're making Putin rich by buying his gas and oil. And they've been funding his war machine the entire time. President Trump said Putin has gone absolutely crazy after this weekend. It's insane. He's just indiscriminately taking out civilians left, right, and sideways. And Russia is declaring Trump's peace deal is dead. Okay, fine. If it's dead, then let the world stand against Putin, especially Europe. Stop making the guy rich. Just like in the Middle East, you know, stop turning a blind eye to the sanctions that work and cut off the Iranian mullah's funding. And don't let them sell oil. Don't give them waivers like Joe Biden and Kamala Harris did.
The conservative underground meets later today on the Sean Hannity Show.
Pure Talk, my wireless company, a veteran-owned company, believes every man, every woman who has faithfully served this country deserves to proudly fly an American flag that was made in America. And that's why Pure Talk is on a mission to give an allegiance flag, the highest quality American flag made in Charleston, South Carolina, to 1,000 veterans in time for these patriotic holidays. Just switch your cell phone service to Pure Talk. Do it this month, and a portion of every sale will go to provide these high-quality flags, hand-sewn, to deserving vets. Now, with plans starting at just $25 a month for unlimited talk and text and plenty of data, you can enjoy America's most dependable 5G network, all while cutting your cell phone bill in half. Average family saves over $1,000 a year. You just dial #250, say the keyword save now. Pure Talk's customer service will make the switch. #250, keyword save now, support our veterans, and switch to America's wireless company, Pure Talk.
Fox Rocks.
I'm Michelle Polino. Billy Joel's wife is speaking out following Joel's recent health reveal, thanking fans for their support as the legendary singer takes time to heal. He was diagnosed with normal pressure hydrocephalus, a neurological condition caused by fluid buildup in the brain. Alexis Roderick Joel shared an update through Joel's Instagram alongside a photo of the couple with daughters Della Rose and Remy. She wrote in part, "We are so grateful for the wonderful care and swift diagnosis we received. Bill is beloved by so many, and to us, he is a father and husband who is at the center of our world." She added, "We are hopeful for his recovery and look forward to seeing you all in the future." All Joel's upcoming concerts are now canceled. Justin Bieber made a grand re-emergence after barely performing for the better of 3 years. Bieber joined SZA as part of a grand national tour with Kendrick Lamar at SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles. The pair performed a version of Snooze. That's Fox Rocks on Fox News.
Hey, this is Fast.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see. Lots to talk about this morning here on the show. Did you guys hear about this proposed ballot initiative here in Montana? The Lee newspapers had a story here. So the legislature failed to deliver significant judicial reform. And one of the, you know, judicial reforms would have been allowing Supreme Court candidates here in our Montana Supreme Court elections to run as a Republican or as a Democrat, to run with a party affiliation. Now, if you want to run as a nonpartisan with no affiliation, you are welcome to do that as well, but it would simply allow the freedom to run with a party affiliation. Well, now a couple of left-wing Democrat Party activists, the same party activists who were behind the out-of-state funded dark money initiative to get recreational marijuana legalized, are now funding basically an initiative that would ban partisan affiliation in our judicial elections. So that is definitely something to watch for here. You're going to see a lot of dark money, I think, flood the state once again to try to aid that effort. Now, they claim that they are a group called Montanans for Fair and Impartial Judges, but in reality, they're protecting the establishment and the status quo, which is a very partisan left-wing Democrat-run mob, which has the majority on the Montana Supreme Court right now. And they've benefited from the very dark money that these guys are probably going to be raising to get that initiative on the ballot. All right, so anyway, we can talk about that and more. We've got the phone lines open for you. Here's what Tom Homan had to say. You know, I mentioned this quote from the Gallatin County Commissioner, Zach Brown, saying, well, people who are in this country illegal didn't necessarily break any laws. They're not necessarily criminals. Outrageous, as he and his fellow Democrats in Gallatin County are standing in the way of ICE. Well, Tom Homan was talking about the mayor of Nashville, Tennessee, but I think he's also putting local officials across the country on notice as well.
Oversight is opening up a congressional investigation. I cannot confirm or deny if ICE is investigating him, but we'll see where it plays out. And it isn't just what he says, it's what he does. So, I mean, I plan on going to Nashville in the near future, and And I said that from day one that, you know, we're going to hit every sanctuary city. Everybody wants to push back against ICE. We're going to pay a lot of attention to them because why? That's not a threat. But if you're going to support criminal aliens walking the street, then we know there's a problem there. We don't have that problem like Florida. We got Governor DeSantis 287G across the state. So we can spend less resources in Florida knowing we have a system to get criminal aliens in every jail in that state. But we got places like Nashville who's pushing against us getting the bad guy. That's where we got to concentrate our resources to make those streets safer. He ought to be thanking ICE for arresting the criminal aliens they arrested. They arrested, you know, as you said earlier, a sex offender, several people that convicted of violent crimes, gang members, and illegal aliens that were deported many times before, which means now they're a felon. We made his streets safer. A thank you would be nice, not attacking the men and women of ICE.
All right, there you go. That was shared via Rapid Response 47 on X, and of course he was on Fox News there in that conversation. But yeah, just look at what took place over the Memorial Day weekend, as that Democrat congressman was whining and complaining that he didn't get to visit his MS-13 gangbanger buddy down in El Salvador. Look at what, you know, the brave men and women in federal law enforcement were doing over the weekend. Under the leadership, this was from the Department of Homeland Security, under the leadership of President Trump and Secretary Noem, ICE has been empowered to remove the worst of the worst from American communities. Here are just a few of the criminal illegal aliens ICE removed over the weekend. An 18th Street gang member, felony sexual assault on a child, previously removed illegal alien with charges of sexual assault of a victim under the age of 13, conviction for aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. That's just a few of the stories that came out over the weekend. And as we know, there are a lot more where those came from as well.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
You can't describe Montana's property tax in 60 seconds, but you can identify the root of its current problems. It's really just one thing, and that is the meteoric rise in the value of residential real estate. Before the year 2000, home price growth and income growth in Montana were evenly matched, which makes sense. But since that year, home prices have risen much faster, with periods of rocket fuel price growth happening at least twice, now and in the years before the Great Recession. The beauty of the property tax, its stability and predictability, has been ripped to shreds as a result. Those galloping prices have made the residential share of the property tax base grow to more than 75% of the total. 20 years ago, it was just over half. Is it any wonder that homeowners' share of the tax burden has grown as well? Either until we fix housing markets or find another tax, we can expect more of the same. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.